open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you.
How do you want to see you?
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. You want to see him, just look into the Word. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians. Now we'll read 2 Peter and Revelation in a minute as we get on through into the message, but we'll just read from Ephesians 1 right now. So remember this weekend now, remember Saturday night, 7 o'clock, we will be having services, and we'll be doing our 4th of July weekend that we started here 40 years ago. And so God has been good to us. And like I said, if you think we've been 40 years around the mountain, maybe we're fixing to leave it. So I hope so. And you know, I believe it. Maybe we're going to quit this marching around, you know, and around. And two, tonight, if anybody has a problem, we're sorry that the internet system may not be working. All right, so that they can do the live streaming tonight. And you know, they'll have it back on the other part of it. But it's their problem. It's not us. It's something wrong with the wiring systems of the internet system. It's not us. But maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. So we don't know. They're trying to do everything they can to get it to going. So just remember that. And also remember, if you will now, we want you to practice in the church. You know, your song and things like that. But see, when you come back and you come in and you start practicing and you start fooling with the sound system, all right, you know, it throws it off to where that nobody don't know what's going on, because now you got to figure out what's wrong with the sound system to where that you switch it over to what you think it ought to be, you know, and it messes us up. So we're just asking you, we're saying, please practice. Don't misunderstand. You get your little feelings hurt, then sit down on them and forget it. But, you know, just if you're going to practice, just ask Josh or Tyler, say first. If they're not here, ask Richard to come up and make sure that what you're doing with the sound system that goes back to the balance of what it is, you know. Because if you come back there, anybody, I've come in here myself and even turned on the sound system when we would start the services, and you know, and find out that somebody had changed the settings myself, you know. So cause I know a little bit about it, but not much, but I just know which one's got to be which way. But Richard and them and Josh and Tyler, they know which one to put where and everything to do. So if you use it, please just ask one of them to make sure that everything's balanced and put back in order to where that, you know, because if you don't, then you start singing a song and it's off. It sounds all right when you're in here with just maybe one and you're doing, but then when everything starts back of the rest of the system, then it's off and you'll be up and down and all kind of things. So if you will, just please ask and do that, because we want you to practice, but we want it to be where that we won't lose what we're doing the setup and have to spend half the time going back through to get it balanced up, you know, to where that'll be all right. So if you would, please do that. Just ask Tyler or ask Josh to help you. And if they're not here, ask Richard to come up, and that way everything won't get messed up. Okay? All right. So just remember that. So as I said, remember the 4th of July. This weekend will be coming up. I'm looking forward to it. Brother Keith Reed going to be with us to preach for us on on Saturday night and then Sunday morning. And then we will be having a dinner together, and it is catered for you because we appreciate you, because the 40 years has been with you and all, and we certainly appreciate it, and we want you to be happy about it. So that's we've decided to do it that way, and, you know, ask the Lord to bless and just keep each one of us. All right, so let's go to our scripture, Ephesians 1. And if there's anything else, yes, too, we will be eating together, but there will be no evening service, because we'll be eating together and just fellowshipping together, and we'll have plenty of time, and there won't be any communion, foot washing or something. We'll switch it on over maybe to the next weekend or whatever, because we are moving the Bible study from the first Saturday to the second Saturday of this month, of this coming month of July, to where that we can get everything balanced up, okay? All right. Father, we thank you and we love you, and we ask you to just help each and every one of us, and Lord, just direct us all into what to say. And Lord, what we would try to say of our own selves, you control that, to where that we would only bring what you want to be brought unto your people, because we just depend upon you. And we ask you to help us and to guide us and give us understanding, because you know that's our prayer constantly is, Lord, give us understanding of thy word. Not just intellectual concept, but understanding by revelation. We love you and we thank you, and we commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto it, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing. I hope you brought back your quotes from Sunday and everything, because I didn't run any off and everything to get it, you know, for tonight, because I knew we'd just continue the same point. Because I'm wanting you to see something that, you know, I believe the Bible proves. You know, the prophet didn't come to give us another book or anything like that. He come to give us the understanding of the Bible that we already had. We were the ones that had it confused. It wasn't confused. It didn't change. You know, that was what was so amazing, that one day that I found out my Bible didn't save me to baptize Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You know, I thought it did. I mean, I read it and we done it, you know, because we thought that's what it was. But we come to find out that wasn't what it said. Well, then the prophet didn't come to give us a new Bible. He studied other translations and things and used them, and that's fine, you know. To, and I do too. I use it to compare and to see what's, you know, the points and all of the of what the maybe the commentators would say about it, or the different Bibles. I like to do that. That's fine. But I do it for the point of understanding, to help me to understand and see the truth. But now we've been talking about, you know, adoption. And we've been talking about, and got up to the stage of speaking now about Romans 8 and 23, where it says, to wit, the redemption of our body. All right, that is the adoption that we need. Now, I've tried to make it plain as I could and much as I know, but that's why I try to teach the adoption in three stages, because the prophet said you bring everything in threes and things, and that way you can understand it better. But I've tried to bring the adoption to that point, to where that, you know, when you're born again, we were just totally annihilated from the promises of God. We were not in no form to be able to claim inheritance of any form. And, you know, Gentiles and that. And it wouldn't have mattered if you were a literal Jew. You still can't claim anything on that basis. But, see, then we had to be adopted into the family of God by the new birth. Amen. Now, that's what I believe that would take place. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, about 15, that we receive the spirit of adoption. That's why he called it like that. And Brother Branham, I know what he would bring it to and talk about the adoption as being the checkbook and the hear ye him and the things of that order of the Matthew 17. I know that. But I know he also taught that we've got to be born again. You know. And by doing that, God had to bring us into his family by the new birth. All right, well, why can't we just say that he adopted us into the family? Because that's what he did, and given us all rights and reserving everything. And then we studied for quite a while about the fact of talking about the Matthew 17, to where it would come down to the checkbook and your name just as good on the checkbook, you know, as your father, etc. But then we started the past few services talking about the where Paul gets down and he doesn't say that this is the redemption of the body. See, that's where our troubles has been. We've tried to implant into things that's not there. It's talking about to wit. And the word to wit is to understand or to be witty, smart, you know, intelligent. But see, when you even put it to the intelligence form and you go back to Webster, it draws it right back down to the word to wit or wit, meaning that, you know, a witty person is a person who has knowledge. I mean, that's a sensible understanding that it has knowledge. And see, Paul then is not talking about the literal change. He's talking about a group of people that when the head and body unites in the body of Christ, and that's the way I've tried to bring it, that when it comes to the second stage of the Mount of Transfiguration, as Jesus said, and, you know, came to, then he went forth in bringing the message of eternal life through the opening of the seals and everything, and that was the way we compared it exactly with the way Brother Branham went. Right through, you know, with him and his coming and his restoring the faith of the fathers, and then 30-something years to do that, then his message comes, and we give you all of these quotes to give you better understanding to let you see what he said. But see, then it's coming down to understand the redemption of the body. Because we can't get the body changed until we understand how it's to be changed. That shouldn't be a problem with anyone. Everybody says Brother Dale's an intellect. I think I'm a dummy, but it's all right. I prove it most of the time. But, see, it's coming to a place of understanding. Now, that's what we need. You say, oh, we need a change of the body. We need to understand what transpires, not the chemical part that it starts here and it works here and goes there and this turns and that turns and we start with a little bit of in eternity in the middle of the belly and we work our way out. I'm not talking about junk. I'm talking about that we need to understand the plan of redemption. Well, I understand the plan of redemption. Justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. Well, why is a lot of the people still looking for a new body to come? And they're doing it in this message. They still believe that they're going to get a new body. Yeah. See? And all of like that. And this world is going to be destroyed. Well, the Bible says it. Yeah, and the prophet said we didn't understand what the Bible said. See? So we used those the other day. Now, let's just turn there in Peter and use these. These are the scriptures that Brother Branham used. And the main point I'm wanting you to get tonight is one thing. I believe in a redemption of the body. All right. I believe this body will be redeemed. All right. I believe this world that we're standing on will one day be redeemed. And then the future home, and that's why I've asked you to read that message over and over, that's where the city can come down upon this earth. All right. Now, see, then in the plan of redemption, we'll see it very plainly that justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost didn't annihilate you. It only cleansed you and set you aside, and then God come and filled you. burn out the things. Now, you are. We're in the message, see? So then, why can't we see that the same plan of redemption is for the world? All right? And if you've read the future home, you know Brother Branham's what he said. He said the world was justified in the days of Noah, sanctified in Jesus dropping his blood, and one day will receive a fiery baptism to cleanse it and claim it, you know, cleanse it and set it aside to where we can come back and live here. All right. Now, in doing that, then, see, why can't we see that these bodies, see, these bodies come out of this earth? All right. And see, then coming out of the earth, then the body to be redeemed will have to go through the same thing as the soul has went through to redeem it, and as the world will eventually go through. And the only thing that what we do is, and that's part of the mystery, is see, we embodying things, we step ahead of the world. See, we go ahead of the world. All right, now, we may not get that far tonight, but we step ahead, see. The world was justified in the days of Noah, sanctified with Jesus' blood, but was having to wait for a fiery baptism. All right, but we step ahead of the world, and we're going to go into a change and go out of here in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, and all of that, before the world will get its fiery baptism. All right. But see, that's the secret that's laying in between to where we can understand. But the main thing I want you to understand, and people on the internet systems to understand, that, see, we used to believe the world would be destroyed. You know, I mean, that's what we all taught. I don't know what we thought, but I know what we taught. I guess we thought it was just going to whammo and then God would have to create and start back over again and all of the things. But we come to find out that wasn't exactly the way God had said it. All right, now that's where we want to read in Peter. See, to see that according to Peter, that in the flood, the world was destroyed. That was his word. But we're still here. Right? See, so we missed it. Standing on the thing and said, yep, back there we know the world was destroyed. Well, what did we do? Did we all get up and not ride over an ark and come over and come down? Did that ark carry us on up to another planet? Set us down on it or some kind of something? I don't know. These are all kind of man's ideas. But just get the point now. So let's read what Peter has to say about it to make sure. Look at verse 5 of Peter, 2 Peter 3 and 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Right. Yeah. But the heavens and earth which are now, excuse me, verse 6, were by the world that then was being overflowed with water, perished. It didn't destroy. It only destroyed the sin. Now you think about it. You that have studied anything and know anything, that like up here in Kentucky, they find fossils of alligators. Yeah. They dig down in the ground, and all of them great big animals and all kind of things, whammo, swept over the top of them. And you know what? You got the church riding on them. Right? Because you got the oil. Yeah. It took all the pressures and all of the things, and it made coal, it made, you know, all kind of things. And see, it was made out of those bodies of people and animals that was destroyed in the flood. But all it was destroyed was the sin of the world. the core, the outside was just moved about. And great changes took place, and all kind of things around the world took place at the what we call the destroying of the world. But it wasn't destroyed. It only destroyed the world, which is the cosmos, world order, systems. Right. See? Then, as I said, you can go to different places, you know, and they're finding all over. They find they found whole elephants, you know, just totally embedded in ice. That had to happen so quickly until they had the green grass in their mouth. See? And their digestive systems and everything was full of green stuff and all. It happened so fast. That's what's called a destroying of the world. But it didn't annihilate the world. So that's why your prophet, see, when he picks these up, and we'll read him, he said, that was something for me to see that. Right? So Peter says it, you know, all right? Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. He just moved everything about, right? Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. All right, drop down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that therein shall be burned up. Looks like one of these days is going to be another annihilation. And we'll get to it in a minute and read where the prophet said, see there, it's not that, it's the cosmos. The world order that's destroyed. All right? Then we go over to Revelation 21 that we were using the other day. 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Right. Brother Branham says same word, see? And there was no more sea. And as John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And it, what does it keep on going? And it looks like one of these days is going to be a great annihilation. And it will be. It will be. But it'll only burn off sin, cosmos, world, order. All right? Now, what I'm trying to get us to make sure we understand there, if we can see that's possible, that this world can be redeemed. Now, this is what I was trying to get across Sunday afternoon, but I just said, well, I better hold it and back up a little bit. And if we can just see that this world can one day be redeemed, you know, and that the new city can come down, and John saw it. He evidently was on earth and looking up, he saw it. He was standing on something, and he saw it come down somewhere, so why not, you know, all right? But if we can see that, now here's the point of the message. See? If we can see that this world can one day be redeemed, right. See? Why would we have any trouble about our bodies being redeemed?
That's
right. Why does everybody want a new one? See? I know what it was in organized religion. We didn't believe God was capable. You say, no. Yeah. We didn't believe God was capable of doing things. We wanted doctors to take care of our bodies. We didn't need healing. We needed doctors. I reckon we thought God was supposed to give us doctors. And thank God he gave us doctors. See? But the point that, see, we look at it and we've always, mankind has always taught that he's going to get a new body. Why can't we believe? If we believe the soul can be saved. Right? And we believe that the world can be redeemed. why can't we believe our bodies can be? Now, they're not going to be 70 years old. No, no. See, we've heard, we understand the message of redemption. We're going to go back to a young man, a young woman, you know. Everybody's going to be 18, 20 years old or something. Because that's going to be the setup. The babies is going to come up in age. The older ones like us is going backward. See? And some of you, the 18, 20, we're going to meet you in the middle. But that still won't be you because you got to still be changed. See? All right? But that's the main point. See? And when we read what the prophet has said, then we can see that the Bible is not saying what we thought it said. We thought it said it would pass away. And John sees the city coming down out of heaven to land somewhere. Why not just believe it's right here? You got a millennial reign. You got a cleansing of this earth in the millennial reign. You know, before the millennium comes. You got a transforming until it'll be back to a Garden of Eden. And then we're going to blow it away. See, that's why, but the people of the message, see, they don't believe that because they don't believe in the redemption of the soul. They believe your soul is annihilated. No, it's the nature of your soul. See? The nature of your soul, the prophet said, was of the world. See? And it had to be redeemed. All right. But once it's redeemed, see, Satan can't get his hands back on it. That's why I want you to read the future home and just go backwards and forth and look and think with him when he's talking. There's many statements that he's making in there that will sound just exactly like that he's talking about redemption of the soul. And he'll be talking about the body. He'll be talking about the world. See? Read it very carefully. Dissect the message, as we call it. Take it very carefully. There is a statement, let's see, in the church age book. Where when they put it in the church age book, they were talking, and in one little paragraph, Brother Branham is covering River Jordan, and he's covering Mount of Transfiguration, and they put it all in one thing. And see, it's two entirely different events. But the way it's connected in the paragraph, a little short one, it looks like Brother Branham don't even know what in the world he's talking about. See? But see, that's why the Holy Ghost is supposed to set these things in order. You remember the board? You know, Brother Branham saying our language is messed up, you know, about board. But remember the before and after describes it, you know. Come on board and pay your board because I'm bored with you. Well, let's just explain what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying by the word board then. So is the Bible. Clear and an understanding. And the prophet didn't have to change it. But see, everybody with the big education, you know. Oh, it's going to be blown away one of these days. I got them words. And Brother Ramp come along and he said, well, here's this word. And said, now this big old word here, he said, I have to spell it to you because I can't even pronounce it. But said, it don't mean destroyed. Said, it just means to pass from one form to another one. And here's a big old stuff shirt. You think he unstuffed his shirt? No, come on. He walked out of there and said, he don't know what he's talking about. See? Yeah. Like aeons and eons. You know? And all kind of things. I tried to talk to my brother-in-law one time about that hell wasn't eternal, and he could quote them big old words because he'd been to college. But what was the problem with him? He just didn't understand how an old idiot like me with a ninth grade education could know what them words meant and could tell him. All right. But you see, it takes the Holy Spirit. All right. It takes the prophet's message. So now let's just read a little bit and let Brother Branham, and then if I have time, I have some more on the back here I'll try to get to. But if we don't, I just want you to understand one thing. And to anybody listening, of what we believe. We believe in the redemption of the body. We believe in the redemption of the soul. We believe in the redemption of the body. We believe in the redemption of the world. And that none of it means annihilation. It means annihilation to the natures of it, or the cosmos, world order of it, or the top of it, or the trice. And I believe it's far, and that's why it says heavens and earth, because as far as man has went out in space, see, to the moon and whatever these ships are going on now, way beyond there and going on out into the atmosphere, that's got to be cleansed.
Yep. Right.
See? Because why? Because mankind has put his earmark on it.
Yep.
Right? See? All right. Now, let's just read some and think about it if you have them. If you don't, then just go get the book and read it. That's what I said. I almost run the whole book. But let's just start off. This is page 14 of Future Home, page 64, 802. Now notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Oh, this just thrilled my soul when I saw it. How he makes plain, well, he didn't understand it always. He come to an understanding one day. How he makes plain to us here now his plan of redemption. Now, compare what we see with our own eyes, what God has done to redeem his world. He's done the same plan to redeem his people, for the unchangeable God changes not any of his plans of anything. Such a glorious thing. Continuous reading. How he led us to himself, a tabernacle in us, by three stages of grace. Just like he's led the world in three stages to come through the world, as God will come to the world after it's gone through three different stages of purification, that's exactly how he comes to us through three stages of grace. I've taught that at the beginning. I never changed since. Of course, now they're saying that Brother Branham says that, they're quoting Brother Branham and saying that Brother Branham said it's just the Holy Ghost now. No, I believe it's justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said here, I know it's two times in this message, he said, I've taught that from the beginning. Because he always taught it and kept his threes running correct. Right? Page 13, Future Home. He said it's only the atmosphere around it and the sin that's upon the earth that will be destroyed. Now we realize that the heavens means the atmosphere above. And he's talking about the thistles and the things. It's only that to be destroyed. See? Sin will be destroyed. All right? Going down to page 13, still in the Future Home. And this exists in heavens or atmospheres, and the earth which is now, this earth holds those things, but it wasn't made for that purpose. Sin caused it to be like that. See, it was made by God the Creator, but all... Now watch where he put it. And all of our bodies that we live in now were put in the earth when God created it. Because you're out of the dust of the earth. It was all laid out here when God himself created it. You were in his thinking, and in him the great eternal was the thought, which is the attribute. All right. Now, it's like I told you, a little catch there. If you'll notice in your Bible that... It says when Jesus went down, he preached to the spirit that were spirits in prison, and it stipulates to those who were disobedient in the long suffering in the days of Noah.
Right.
Yep. Now, why would he stipulate it? Why would God stipulate it like that? See? It was 2,000 years, right, from the creation to the flood.
Right.
But Brother Brown said that your body was justified when the rain fell on it in the days of Noah. What about those people before then? Give you something to think on, don't it? So Jesus had to go preach to those who were in the long suffering in the days of Noah. See? He had to bring a witness. A witness to them that there were some people that were going to be redeemed. Was that not his witness? In other words, didn't he go down and tell them, you've missed it? But there's people that has took this message and lived it. There's people that took Noah's message and lived it.
Right.
It was 2,000 years, remember? A world. A scientific world. But see, just drop a little point to you. All right? So then we know that Peter says, according to page 14, future home, here the apostle in 2 Peter, here the second chapter, the fifth verse, it's really the, what, it's the third chapter. Yes, I've got it. It refers to three stages of the earth. See, he gets three stages of it. Notice how he brings them. The old world stood out of the water. Now that was the Antediluvian. Now, the one that is the present world we live in now, called it a world. The old world that stood out of water, Genesis 1, now the world that is now present, and then again he refers to another one, the world that is to come, the new world, three stages of the world. So then now the three stages is going to stay the same as for your soul. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's going to stay that way. See? Notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Oh, this just thrilled my soul when I saw it. How he makes plain to us here now his plan of redemption. Now compare that with our own eyes that God has done to redeem the world. He's done the same plan to redeem his people for the unchangeable God. Now I quoted that one a while ago, but I want you to get it. How he led us to himself at a tabernacle in three stages of grace, just like he led the world in three stages to come through the world. As God will come to the world after it's gone through three different stages of purification, that's exactly how he comes to us through three stages of grace. I've taught that at the beginning. I've never changed. He said, keep your threes straight. All right? Page 14, still in the future home. In the old world, the Antediluvian, the world that's present now, the one to come, the three stages that he brings to us. See, his plan of redemption is exactly the same by everything. He uses the same method. He never changes. Just getting you to see something. Right? If we can get to hopes of seeing that the world and how it can be, and remember what I was saying, remember my point, to wit, to understand the redemption of these bodies. So if we can understand the redemption of the soul, then we can go over and understand the redemption of the world. It'll be a simple matter to come back and understand the redemption of the body. Maybe a little there that we have to get, but it's still there. Because you're going to say to me, Brother Dale, how can the your body go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, that's very easy. But I won't say it, but that's very easy. We just hold that. If we get through it tonight, we'll get on to that point. If not, we'll cover it later. Going down, page 15, future home. God makes it plain to us, if that wasn't a great confirmation, a great loving blessing from God, when I see this and see that since a boy, first time ever Christ dealt with me, I've always taught those three stages of grace. Notice if it isn't true now. And he goes on down, page 17. How striking. He takes the place where we are to dwell through the same process. Now he's called the church through justification. He called it through sanctification. Then filled it with the Holy Ghost and fire. And took it through a process that he himself, the Holy Spirit himself, the Son of God, could dwell in the human heart. Now it has to go through that before it can come into it. Notice he done the world where the bride's going to live in the same way, his plan of salvation. Notice the Antediluvian world after it had repented by through the bride of that day. And watch it. Look how he would tie the world to cleansing. It's a message. You remember that prior to this message? It's a message. Brother Branham had a message. There's got to be a message to go with it. All right. Brother Dick and I were talking down there a while ago. See, that's what people don't understand. It's two accounts in the book what is in Luke, I guess. But anyhow, it's two accounts in the gospel. Maybe one in the book of Acts. That when Jesus appeared to the disciples, when he appeared to two on the road to Emmaus, he opened their understanding of the scriptures. That didn't give them the new birth. They had to go to Pentecost. He opened the understanding of the disciples after he met them. That didn't give them the new birth. They had to go to Pentecost to get the new birth. But he opened their understanding. See, Brother Branham has come and preached a message to you and I that we ought to be able to understand the redemption of the body and the world and the soul. At least our understanding ought to be opened. That is a whole lot further beyond the understanding that we previously had. But I want a revelation. I want that to become personal to me. It's like I was telling Wade the other day about it. I mentioned it, Brother Dick. You know, I've told a lot of things around here that God's done and I've seen and things like that. Well, you know, if you want to take me to a lie detector test, I'll go with you. Because there's no way in the world you're going to get that to deny what I saw. Brother Gary is talking about it. Man sees a pink elephant, take him to a lie detector test, and the lie detector test will show that he's seen a pink elephant. You say, no, it don't exist. It did to him. See? The machine will show that what's right. If you've got something within your heart, there's no way for Satan to take that out of you. You have the new birth. There's not enough demons in this whole world to get you to deny that Holy Ghost that's inside of your soul. Because if it deny, you don't have it. They wasn't one born-again Christian that denied Jesus Christ in the Fox of Book of Martyrs. Now, there was a lot that didn't have it that turned and walked away. A lot of difference in where something's personal or not. After 40 years, we ought to have an understanding of Brother Branham's message. Right? God has opened our understanding, but now we need a revelation. There's a lot of difference between a head knowledge and a revelation. You can't walk on a head knowledge. Pink elephants, you can't stand on them. Right? Because they don't exist. But if it was a revelation, you could walk on it. That's why you can't take away what somebody has seen. Like Brother Brown said, if God told me to go raise George Washington from the dead, he said, I'd invite the world to come and see him raised. Why? Because he had something real.
Right.
Yeah. See? He was dwelling in a reality. See? All right. So why can't we understand it? All right. Let's see. You know, page 17, Future Home. Notice the Antediluvian world. After it had repented through the bride of that day, Noah, he gave it a water baptism. Covered it over with water. Then justification, showing that he's on the road to call his fallen world from Eden back to its restoration again. Then Christ came and shed his blood upon it, cleansed it and claiming it. See, that's the world that we live in now. See, that's why Satan, he goes on down and says that's why Satan tried to give Jesus the world. He showed him everything. And said, I'll give it to you if you just fall down and worship me. See? But Brother Brown said, what? He had it earmarked. If he'd done that, that's why he couldn't do it. Go on down. Did you notice Abraham when they tried to give him the land? He bought it with so many sickles of silver before the people as an ensign. Said he dropped down. He tried to give it to him as a gift, but he wouldn't receive it. See? Then Satan could still have claim on it. But it had to be bought. Yeah. Satan would have claim on this world if Jesus hadn't have paid the price. But when he paid the price, Satan has nothing to do with it. Scripture says what? Jesus there one day says, Satan's coming and have nothing in me. Now, I won't get to that place. Now, I may be there in soul by the new birth. But I want that to be said about the rest of me. You say, well, I don't think you'll ever get that way. Well, that's all right. I'm striving for it. You remember why I said that they've quit on all of this stuff? You know, they're not going nowhere anymore. Why? Because they've done reached interplanetary travel, and the prophet said that's the top of the rapture. So there's not a push to go.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they want to travel around, but they've dropped back down, right? Okay, watch. Let's just go on over and read a few. For the world, listen to the prophet, page 23, Future Home. For the world is number 13, if you're looking on your notes with me. For the world is one of his attributes. Now, why is he so overjoyed about redeeming this thing? Why wouldn't it be an easy matter to blow it apart and build and speak another one? But he's not going to do it. But look what he says. You realize if he blowed this world apart, he'd blow your body out of existence and you would have to get a new one. Right? Where'd you get it from? Venus, Mars, Pluto, who? Still all the same earth. I thought we believed, at least in some form, the prophet did about the Big Bang theory. He said everything comes from the science says everything comes from the one ball of gas that just blew apart back in the beginning. So all of these planets and everything out there, and they're still even moving. We're moving. We're not sitting here. We're moving. Science can prove all of these things to us. See? But look. For the world is one of his attributes, just the same as you are one of his attributes. The world becomes one of his attributes because it was God's thinking in the beginning to have a world, to be on a throne, to be a king, to be a redeemer, to be a healer. That's his attributes. We like the healer, like the redeemer, but what about it? He's going to sit on a throne. Where? Here. In this world. We're going to sit on a throne with him too. Where? Here. In this world. Amen. A kingdom. All right. Go on down. 25. So as old world frame did not destroy by the waters when it was washed off, the frame of the planet, the old frame, all the dirt, all the stuff that God put on the earth was not destroyed when the first world was destroyed. And the Bible said it was destroyed. But it never destroyed the frame. It just destroyed the sin and sinners that was on it. The framework remained. But you see, now listen to this one. But you see, as justification, as you Baptists and Methodists want to think of you, just justification, believing and being baptized, that's not enough. You'll wander right back into the things of the world, bob your hair and wear your shorts and everything else. See, there is nothing happened yet. Just look back and seeing you done wrong. What did justification do to the world? It never done a thing to it. It started right off again, just as much sin as ever it was. That's the way a man does, and that's all the farther he goes. What happened to the world? Sure, it was justified. But what did it do? Started right back off. Did it change it? When Jesus dropped his blood on it, the world never even recognized other than a shaking of an earthquake and things. But it was not like even the washing. When Jesus dropped his blood on the earth, it didn't destroy the world. And neither did it make it a fit place for God to live because it's still a junk. Right? See? The old framework, 26, was not destroyed by the water. The world was only washed off. That got its baptism. It was baptized. So will the framework remain, though it be burned by fire? It don't destroy the earth. It just destroys the sin that's on it. Notice here some of you Bible students, especially Dr. Vail, looking at me. Now, in Peter, in the second chapter of Peter, here, third chapter, rather, he uses the word world as a Greek word, cosmos, which means the world order. The earth will pass away, melt the elements with fervent heat. See, don't mean that the earth, the planet's going to pass away. But the world, cosmos, it don't mean the planet's going to go. But the world, cosmos, the politics, this, and boy, that's a bad one, ain't it? The sinners and systems and sin, I never realized politics till this prophet come along. I always said that I've had my own definition of politics. I know what ticks are. And, they're just bloodsuckers, and that's what politics are. They're just bloodsuckers. But that's their business. Let them have their fun. We're going to get out of here. And Peter said, all will melt with fervent heat and works therein burn up. Not the planet, the works therein. The works of man, all their politicians and their schemes and all their denominations and man-made schemes will all go with it when it burns. Heaven will pass away with a great noise. Did you notice here? Heavens will pass away with a great noise. Listen, the whole earth will be on fire and will ignite the gases in the earth and explode it exactly. Still on page 26, Future Home. Peter said the heavens will pass away and earth with a great noise. Such an explosion will rock it, because it's got to kill every disease, every thistle, every thorn, everything there is to be done. The fire will burn it up. And remember, it's not altogether just a literal fire. And listen to it. It's also a holy fire. See? That will take away Satan and all of his devils, both heaven and earth, amen, will pass away, killing all the germs, all the insects, all the natural life on it and around it, even the H2O, the water will explode. Think about it, because H2O is two part hydrogen, one part oxygen, a deadly explosive. See, we didn't even realize, and I don't think we still realize, the stuff you go up down and drink can blow you to pieces. All it's got to do is just be changed. Who knew that, what was it? It wasn't fertilizer, but what was the other one? Ammonia nitrate. Who knew ammonia nitrate would blow a building up? We put a lot of it on corn, and it blowed the corn up. You know, it made it grow. But I never realized it'd blow up anything. If it had, we'd have had fun in our day. I told you about we shot 17 sticks of dynamite 1 year. That's where I don't talk about these kids about their little simple things. Yeah, I'm just not that away. I don't like to be what everybody thinks. Boy, Lord lived in our day. We lived in a good world. We're all good. No, we're a bunch of junk. Doing the things, guzzling down the moonshine. We knew about the herbs and the things. But you see, everybody wants to condemn the young people. Well, all right, it is wrong to do wrong. We know that. But we done our thing. We had our bell-bottom pants. We had our ducktail haircuts. Brother Dale... Oh, yeah, we look like Elvis Presley. Yeah, sideburns. I never did have them. Had the ducktails. I never did like sideburns. Never have. That's my own personal opinion. I don't like them. You can't trust anybody that's got sideburns. That's my opinion. I told you that's my opinion. But now look. He goes on to explain the big word. And many of you want to put down this word, that's page 27. The Greek word pass away, it comes from the word, and he come to find it, and it's the word P-A-R-E-R-E-C-H-O-M-I-A. And he says it doesn't mean annihilation, it means changing from one form to another. So the world in the days of Noah was not destroyed, it changed from one form to another. When this happens in the end of it, it will change it from one to the other. Now, he goes on and gives you a lot of examples. He said Paul used it, when you want to put it down, in Titus 3 and 5. Paul is using the same word, means regeneration of man. That man is passed from a sinner to a saint, not completely annihilated. When a man's changed, he isn't annihilated, but he's a changed person. He's been changed from what he was to what he is, not annihilated. Jesus used the same word. I'm reading from Future Home, page 28. Jesus used the same word, Matthew 19:28. Now, not 28:19. 19:28, he said to them, "You sit with me in my Father's kingdom, regenerated, see, changed. When you're changed," he used the same word. He used the same word, he said, when he said to the colt, said, "Loose the colt and let him go." You remember that in the scripture? Said the same thing at the resurrection of Lazarus. Loose him, change him. He's been tied, let him go. What does it mean? The earth will be loosed from the grip of Satan. It'll be loosed. It'll be loosed from politics. It'll be loosed from denominational religious systems to be used for the kingdom of God. Now, I want to ask you a simple question. And I want you to answer from your heart, not from your head. A simple question. Do you believe the devil will be destroyed? Or is that a quote? Because that's a holy fire that's going to destroy the devil and all of his angels and everything. See, thank God for a prophet. We wouldn't have never thought about it, even though the scripture said that Satan would be destroyed. What a great God that we serve. He's not going into the future home. He will be there even kept undercover in the millennium because he has nobody to work through. But then he's loose for a little season. He goes forth to bring forth all of the people. But then in the end of it, he's annihilated. Amen. The thing you're afraid of will be annihilated. I preached a little sermon when I was in the Philippines. I'd preached it here before when. I said, according to the Bible, Satan will be one day like a man laying along the side of the road. That's according to the Bible. And said, who's afraid of this man? It called him a man. In other words, signifying that he doesn't have his supernatural abilities that he has this day, because he does have them. He even passes out gifts, Brother Branham said. Supernatural gifts. Satan can do all those things. He's the prince and power of the air. He's doing all of these different... Sure, but what about him being destroyed? And the Bible said you'd see him like a man laying in a ditch. Now, Brother Dean back there in karate, you know, at the time he could just about jump over this building. But you see, Satan will be like a man laying in a ditch. Not even enough energy to get up. Are you afraid of him? Brother Branham saw Satan, right? He said he come at him saying, boo. He said, well, I'm going to just see what will happen. He just booed back at him. Well, after a while, Satan was just gone. See? Satan is our servant. He's not our master. He can only bring me to God and help me by attacking me, pushing me through this. But he can't destroy me. But there'll be a day he'll be destroyed. So as the old saying goes, you know, Satan likes to remind you of your past, doesn't he? Well, there's a good statement among the people of the message. I don't know where it come from, where it started, but it's a good one. It said, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. His future will be annihilation. Just remind him of it. When he tells you about your past, just say, Satan, what about your tomorrow? What about you when God decides to destroy you? Oh, of course he's going to tell you God can't do that. But we know the truth. Amen. Satan will be annihilated. See? The prophet said the next thing you receive was the baptism of the holy fire. And when the millennium is over, God's going to give the world a baptism of fire. It's going to blow the whole thing up. The heavens and the earth will be on fire. They won't be annihilated. Now, it won't be annihilated. See, the reason it won't be annihilated, number one, it's an attribute of God. We just read that, didn't we? You remember the quote? The world is an attribute of God. All right. Then how can Satan destroy an attribute of God? So it can't be done. See? Our bodies came out of it. I'm just making sensible statements. That's what I like to do. I like to look at something, see what the prophet said, see what the Bible said, then make my own conclusion. Of course, that's what people don't like. They don't like for you to make your own conclusion or something. No, you don't have no right. I just make my own conclusion. Yeah. If it's an attribute, it cannot be destroyed. Okay? And if my body came out of it, and if it's destroyed, then I'm going to have to go to Mars to get me a new one. Or some planet. No, Brother Dale, God is just going to speak. Well, where did he speak the first from? He spoke our bodies right out of this earth. No, it come by Mom and Daddy. Yeah, it did. But you explain to me what that prophet said, and I'll listen to you. Because he said things that even you women argue about today. Because he said a woman in her thing comes down and says many eggs comes down, and science says there's only one comes down. Now, who are you going to believe? All you women going to believe the doctor that tells you there's only one egg comes down? Read your prophet. He said there was millions of eggs. He said there were millions of germs come down. And he said it was not the first one it met that produced the body. He said one from way in the back crawled over and come back to run way over here. He said, how did you wind up being a red-headed child out of all black-headed people? He said, somewhere way back down through there, his great-great-great-great-great-grandmother was red-headed. Took all that time to get it out. You see, we're arguing with the message. Well, now, Brother Dale, Brother Branham was just so dumb, he didn't understand about the eggs. Now, he might know about the Bible. Well, if he knowed about the Bible, I think he knowed about the eggs. You know? And like I've always said, they say, which come first, the chicken or the egg? Well, we know for sure which came first. God didn't create an egg. He created a chicken. He didn't create a male and a female egg. He created a chicken. But you see, science says, well, we don't know. Well, I don't give a hoot what science says. What does the Bible say? What did the prophet say? Yeah. There's a lot of things Brother Branham said that totally went against scientific knowledge. But a lot that he said, if the science would have listened to it, they could have found out a lot more about scientific knowledge if they'd have just listened to him. But you see, folks, now I'm going to make a few statements, and then we'll come back, and I'll cover this again, so I'll keep these notes that I've got laying here now. But I want you to think about something. We've got a lot said about the redemption of the soul. We believe it. That it goes through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we now have things that we've read through what the prophet has said, and we've tried to study it to the basis of seeing that the world will go through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we've got a lot of open questions there that's still left in our understanding. What happens to this body? We can't afford to do as the brother in the message says, that we'll walk out on our ashes in the millennium. Now, that's a big man in this message. He says we'll literally just walk right out on our own ashes in the millennium, and then somewhere out here down by some way, some pie, some something, we're going to wind up back up there with it, you know, and make contact. Well, I just don't see that. I'm honest. I don't see it. Because why would you want it changed? Why are you going to change something and annihilate it? Why are you going to resurrect something and annihilate it? See? That's what I said. I'm just making sensible statements. Well, we ain't supposed to reason about the Bible. I say the Bible's the only thing's reasonable. The Bible says, come let us reason. The same one says to cast down reasoning. So what's he talking about? Cast down man's kind and his reasoning. The cosmos, the world order, the atmospheres, the situations of life. We certainly don't want to wait on our body to be redeemed in the fire that comes after the millennium that will destroy the world. Cosmos. We can't afford to wait that long, can we? So we got to know something about it. And you remember my statement? It doesn't say that we are the adoption. See, you come to the adoption of the hear ye him, and that's headstone. But then there's another stage. Past the headstone, and that stage is to wit, Paul says, to understand the redemption of the body. Didn't say the redemption of the world. Are you listening? Paul didn't say we need to understand the redemption of the world. I believe we do because he's put it in the scripture, but get my point. There has to be a mystery. And we must annihilate all things that cannot be true. You know, that's the way I study something. You know, we used to take, what do you call those, multiple choice or something like that, multiple choice questions, you know. Two school teachers sat back there, three of them in here, you know, they laugh at me because I'm a dummy talking about. But what do you, you get a multiple choice. Well, what's a multiple choice? No matter what they ask you, two of them is so outlandishly wrong until even a dummy will understand that they're not right. So you just mark them two off.
Right.
You know. Then you have to study on which of the two's right. And we used to know, you know, true and false. It was every other one was true and every other one was false. You just get your orders and numbers right. But anyhow, listen, to get an understanding of the redemption of the body. I didn't make a lot of statements Sunday because I didn't want people, and I'm glad the internet system went down maybe tonight, because it'll make people want to stir up later and come back and listen. But just listen a minute. We can't afford to wait until the fire falls over there after the millennium,
right,
to get a glorified body.
Right.
See? We have to step ahead of the world.
Right.
You know why? Where the world can follow us.
Right.
Our bodies will go ahead of the world, and then the world can follow us.
Yeah.
We're the kingpin in the middle. That's what you want to call it, the keystone. We're in the middle. We have heard the redemption of the soul for 2,000 years, right? But very little has been taught of mankind about the redemption of this body. That's why basically all organized religion and half of this message believe you're going to get a new one. Well, where's it coming from? What planet, what place, what position, where's it coming from? Yeah. All right. See, there's some keys that Brother Branham made in the message of the future home to give us understanding about this bodily redemption. Huh? We've got to have a place to anchor it to. We've got to have an example, a type, a shadow,
right,
to precede our thinking. Because if not, we won't be able to have it lined up in the scriptures. All right. So did you read these things in the future home? Or did you just read over it and say, well, boy, he sure goofed there. How about page 44? Future home. It's not on yours now. Don't look for it. When he went up out of the water, he said, I saw heavens open. Now, where's this at? River Jordan, right? Where everybody now saying he wasn't God, he become God, he thought he was God, somebody's God. We don't know what God is. So when he went up out of the water, the prophet said, when he went up out of the water, he said, I saw heavens open. The prophet saw it. Now, who's he talking about? John the Baptist. He saw the heavens open, and here come descending out of heaven a form of a dove and a voice saying. Now, what does it say over there? What does it say there in the scripture about Matthew 3? This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to. This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, tells you the things he does. But now here's what your prophet said it said. Now let's read it and see if it changed, if he changed the interpretation, or was he telling us what the Bible was really saying. Now, reading between the lines is fine as long as what you read is upon the lines. Correct? We don't believe in reading between the lines to get something contrary to the lines. Now, your prophet didn't say that. He said reading between the lines is reading about Abraham and Sarah and how that they went down here and took a 300-mile journey, and here was grandma, you know, or granny he called her. He didn't call her grandma because she wasn't at that time. He called her granny, I think. And here this man comes out and he wants to take her as his wife. I mean, my wife, I think, for 69 years old, is a beautiful woman. I'm not saying that because she's here. I've always told her she's pretty. When her mother at 45 was solid white-headed, I thought, yeah, she's just 45, she'll be white-headed. Well, she's not. She's not white-headed. But I still don't think that too many 18-year-old or 20-year-old kings would want her as a wife when they could have all the others that are around. Is that honest? That's not degrading her, is it? Now, when she was 18, it's like Richard said when he saw a picture of her when she was 16, right before we married. He said, well, you was a model. She said, I was. I turned out to be a model wife. See? Okay. So we just read between the lines. But we didn't read contrary to the lines. Right? And we wound up reading eventually that her and Abraham, that were both of them totally beyond childbearing. Abraham done all right, but he still done got to that point, you know, and he done lost it. Right? And when he did, it says that they were both beyond. They wind up with a baby. Yeah. Sarah dies, and what is it, seven more kids that Abraham has or something like that? He married and had seven more or something, you know. Yeah. We just read between the lines, didn't we? We didn't read contrary to the lines because that's what the lines said. We just didn't read it right. So now when we're reading Matthew, that it says, you know, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Let's read what your prophet had to say in the future home. And he went up out of the water and he said, I saw heavens open. The prophet saw it. He saw the heavens open, and here come descending out of heaven a form of a dove. Page 44, future home. And a voice saying, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth I will redeem the rest of it. For he is my word made manifest. And the whole world, I spoke it into existence by my word, Hebrews 11. And Satan's held it all this time, but I've come to redeem it. So much of it has made his body, and I'm coming to dwell in it. Now, Brother Ryan said, that's what the Bible said. All right. Now here's the catch to it. 3.5 years later, he receives a change. Agree? But God said it was redeemed. There was no redemption to be brought later. There was only a manifestation of what had already been spoken would come into view. Page 44, future home. John said, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. What? And where did it settle on? Just exactly like it did there upon the earth. One day it's going to come down on earth, just like it did on earth. Where? Jesus was part of that earth that the Holy Ghost descended upon. Is that right? And remained upon him forever. It can never leave him. It's always there. He and God are one. Always has to remain. And so John saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending like a comet or a dove, coming out of heaven and settling upon a redeemed entire earth. To do what? To claim every attribute that he made the earth for. Every man that was ever that was represented in eternity, and every woman is redeemed then. Now, where was your body redeemed? Remember what we've kept reading in Ephesians? Everything's predestinated in Jesus Christ. In him before the foundation of the world. I've kept reading that over and over and over, hoping somebody would jump up and say, "Hey, I see it." Everything we get is in Jesus Christ. Whether it be redemption of soul, whether it be healing for the body, whether it be a body change, or whether it be a world to come down and live on, it's all in Jesus Christ. And without him, we don't get anything. Okay? To do what? To claim every attribute that he made the earth for. Every man that was represented in eternity, and every woman is redeemed then. She's been scoured and burned by fire. Jesus, in his fiery temptations in the wilderness for 40 days, after that notice, it was ready for his ministry. Think of it, the Holy Ghost descending upon the earth, Jesus, and the Holy Blood. Now watch, I hope it don't go too deep for you. Page 19, Future Home. Now notice, now as we take this place we are to dwell in. Now, the Antediluvian repentance then brought water baptism. Then Jesus came and shed his blood upon it to cleanse and claim it. The world? Are you with me? He dropped his blood on it to cleanse and claim it. Where was your body? Okay, so Brother Dale, you got to make this live for a minute. Okay, I will. Lord willing. Then comes the next destruction of the world it is now, and sin that's in the heavens above. We'll pick up on these other quotes. Just ask you another little simple question. Was our bodies... physical compound elements of our bodies, whatever you call them, 16 elements, potash, petroleum, etc. Was that in Jesus? When he stood there and the voice said, "This is my beloved son." Our natural bodies was not in there. We don't come out of Jesus by natural DNA genetics. True? But he redeemed that to where that he could redeem soul, body, and the world would be all made in Jesus Christ. All right. Now, that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry we just read. He was ready for his ministry. That's where these people can't understand the anointing that come on Jesus on the River Jordan. It was an anointing for ministry. That's just simple. Because he goes right over just a little bit in Luke about the fourth chapter. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." That's simple. See? But get the point now. Where does your redemption of the body start? Say, well, it was done in Jesus Christ. All right, there's another one of those. We don't want to wait until this, that, or the other form. We need an understanding. to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. Not to change. The change comes in an automatic process because we understand the redemption. Will you go with me that way? The change will come because of the fact that we come to a position to know that we're redeemed and understand it. Will you go with me? I don't ask you to amen because most of you ain't. And like brother says, you know, amen is when you shake your head. You know, and none of you ain't shaking your head, so you ain't amening. And got one amen. But think about it. Now, what did we cover here a few months ago? The Lord Jesus Christ had to have a River Jordan experience, right? That was his identification. True? That's what your prophet called him. He was identified on the River Jordan. Right? He was identified. Right? He did not have to have the new birth, did he? Because he was the new birth. But he had to have that anointing to come upon him to bring forth his ministry. Right? Now, but you and I needed a new birth. So his first stage of adoption was that he started off on the River Jordan. That's where your prophet covers it. Now go ahead, do what you want to. And then he comes to Mount of Transfiguration as to hear ye him. And then he goes on to the opening of the seals and has an understanding of the redemption of the body. You remember that a few weeks ago when I was trying to say that? You might not have been listening. You ought to go back and listen to some of them tapes. I've already preached most of this. You remember when I tell you, hey, this is mark number one? You ought to write it down. What I say, because I'll eventually get back to it. Huh? Jesus didn't need a new birth. But he went through that as an example for you and I. And his body was redeemed right there. 3.5 years of the most horrible time could ever be, but that don't have anything to do with it. He was already redeemed. That's why Satan couldn't touch that body. Jesus, Satan never killed Jesus. No Roman spear killed Jesus. No Jewish spear killed Jesus. No beating on the back killed Jesus. He died of his own accord because of your sin and my sin. He paid the price. Agree? But see, Brother Branham said when he dropped his blood on it, that cleansed and claimed it. Amen. Our bodies that were in the earth. You see, it's not only just, that's not used in the who is it? Somebody gets a scripture if you can. I can't remember it, but see, I didn't mean to go this far. You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Remember? Right. Holy Ghost and fire. You say, well, why does it say Holy Ghost and fire? Brother Brown says, because that fire comes right there as that Holy Ghost is coming in and says it burns out everything. If you read the Future Home, you heard him. Said it burns out anything that was left. And the Holy Ghost comes and lives in. Do you realize then that when Jesus set up a kingdom, well, that's what he came to bring, wasn't it? When he gave you the new birth, Brother Gary, he cleansed and claimed that body. He burned it out to a degree. And he's still burning it out. Because your prophet says 49 of the Future Home that your soul is redeemed, but said you're waiting the redemption of the body. He said it's growing on. I've given you that quote 3 times already. It's growing on. Already started. Who is this Melchizedek? He said it's already started. See, when he gave you the new birth, right there, He laid claim on that body that you're living in, Brother Dick. There's no way it can ever be annihilated. You can burn it, trash it, do what you want to with it. Can't be annihilated. Why? Because he laid claim to it. That's why I believe we're not going to get a new body. It's because the Holy Ghost come to live in this body. And now we don't like this. Remember a few weeks ago when I preached this away? See, when it says about Jesus, it says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." See, we say, one of these days, I wish I could get to that place. Well, then you don't have the new birth. Sorry. If you think one of these days you want to get to the place that God could be pleased to dwell in you, you don't have the new birth. Because the day he gave you the new birth, he come to dwell in you. Put his own life. Redeem this body. You want scripture? You want scripture for it? Those who he justified, he hath already glorified. Well, I just don't see it. I'm looking. That's exactly what you would have done with Jesus from the River Jordan and 3.5 years of the most horrible beatings and life happenings and what he could go through with until a day come that could be made manifest and his body would be made eternal. You wouldn't see it back there either. Now, I don't believe in getting another body. The Holy Ghost is dwelling in this body. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's pleased to dwell in you. Now, I'll say it because I don't mind being blunt. He might not be happy about it. He might not be happy about living in you and me and the basis of us being and the sin that we walk in. Oh, Brother Dale, I ain't a sinner. You're the biggest liar in the building. But he says he's pleased to dwell. I've got notes. One of these days I want to get back and preach on sin again. I preached it here a while back, a few years ago. I want to get back on it again. But see, you say, well, what are you sin with, Brother Dale? I say this with love in my heart. If you sin today, and you're a Christian, if that sin is in your soul, you're lost. But then you tell me you don't sin. And then you try to justify and you say that where Brother Branham said the Christians are the only one that has sins. You say that it don't say born again Christians there. Don't turn it. Don't twist it, please. With love in my heart, don't twist it. Don't try to use scriptures like that. Your prophet said he sinned every day. Now, where did he sin at? Was it in his body? Was it in his spirit? Or was it in his soul? You say, well, we're just a soul. Have we come all of this way to divide body, spirit, and soul and then want to wind up and sum it up by saying we're just a soul? I know that's right. We are a soul. We're a being. But you must divide the body, spirit, and soul according to Hebrews 4:12. If you sin in your soul, you're lost. So where did the prophet sin? If you don't want to take anything and twist scriptures, quotes from the prophet, he said he sinned every day. Where did he sin at? In his soul. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All right. You were probably rejoicing over the things you first heard. and the talking about the body being redeemed when you receive the new birth. But what about your rejoicing now? I leave that with you. With love and respect of all things. If you sin as a Christian, you better make it in body and spirit. But if you sin in your soul, you're lost. And if you're just a soul, then that makes you a sinner. I love you. Let's stand. Come on. You see, it's to understand the redemption of the body. It's to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. You know what will happen when we understand the redemption of the body? The body will be redeemed. The world's not waiting on the sons and daughters of God to just be signs and wonders. You remember that? Because manifestation means what? To make known. Signs and wonders sure makes God known, and we covered that. No divine healing, no resurrection. Divine healings and things is to make known God among us. But the world is waiting on the sons and daughters of God to come to a place that they understand the redemption of the body. It must start in your new birth and work its way out. What we got, brother? 87. Anybody have a need? Giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lost. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. I walk with the heavenly leader. Let me go all the while. The song and the smile. Fill my way every day with love. How many of you remember why Brother Dale loves that song? You don't base things on a dream, but sometimes dreams are good, aren't they? I worked on a night shift, General Motors, and I'd sleep in every morning. And one day I dreamed a dream. And in this dream I saw many things take place. And I was trying to preach the gospel. And this boy that he and I were bosom buddies, he got killed in a truck wreck years ago. My wife and I used to double date with him and the girl he dated. And I don't judge nobody, but of all of his actions, he would have been not a Christian. In a dream, he came to me. He said, Sam, he said, you keep on the way you're going, preaching like that. He said, the devil's going to get you. Then I saw myself walking down the road. And I was just heading right on down the road. And I began to sing. fill my way every day with love. As I walked with the heavenly dove, I was half in the dream and half out. I heard a woman's voice. Now you can believe this or what you want to do, it don't matter. Give me a lie detector test and we'll see where it works or not. But it was a woman singing. Now I'm singing, fill my way every day with love. And there was a woman singing. She was singing, fill my way every day with love. She was in the other side of the house. My wife. She was singing, fill my way every day with love. That's why I believe we're one. Because we're together. But you see, I believe God's real.
Amen.
Fill my way every day with love. Get it right. Walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my soul satisfied. My soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Sing it unto Him. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while. Anybody have a need? Well, I like this life part, don't you? Soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. You love Him? Heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with... Start on the first and let's sing in. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. You believe it? You have a need? Come and let's see if God's real. If you need salvation, come. We've never believed redemption's over, but it has to be gaining ground fast because every day it's turning. So make sure you're right. Know whether you're saved or not. All the while with the song and the smile, fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I with heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Think about it. He's opened our understanding of the Scriptures to give us a knowledge. And I want it revealed. See, once it's revealed, it'll be made manifest. Fill my way every day with... Ain't God good? Because that's another one I really love, don't you? You have a need. Serving, that's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today. Whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Let's just believe it. Simply believe it. Exactly. Father, you've heard our brother. Take away this hurting, Lord, in his stomach and his chest and whatever Satan's trying to tell him. We believe your word. Take away this problem in his arm, Lord. Let all the body come back together. We love you and we thank you. We believe your word that by your stripes, our brother is healed. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Come and let's see. Her wife says she's tired of hurting. They're telling her now that she's got the degenerative in her back, you know. Wanting to do all kind of different things. But I believe God's word. I believe the same God that walked the shores of Galilee is right here tonight, if you'll just believe it. I believe He's right here with us. He just wants us to believe it. You believe it? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do as you said in your word, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Father, we go to one point. She's body of body and bone of bone. Satan, you take your hands off of God's children. This is God's property. And you just take your hands off, Satan, because we don't have nothing to argue with you about. You go on about your duty. You mess up all the rest of the world, go on, but you can't argue with God and His word. And His word calls for you to leave. In Jesus' name, we condemn this hurting. Anybody else? Just go believe. More than a conqueror, what I am. You just do the way that the prophet said, step out on your faith. Years ago, I had a problem developing my arm, and I couldn't raise it up. I could only get it up about like that. And I've always been, you know, in pretty good health-wise, and it just got to where I couldn't use it. And I'd do all right here, but I couldn't get no higher. My wife, we used to walk together, and she got where she couldn't walk with me. And so one day I was just walking around through there, and I was just talking to the Lord. And I just started singing. I don't know what I was singing, but I was singing something to the Lord. I said it like this. I said, Satan, you through. I said, because my arm's going up, I'm either going to break it or you're going to have to leave me. I just took both arms and just started going. This one would go up, but that one wouldn't go but about that high. I said, hang on, old boy. You're still going. And I went done like that and shot it up in the air. I've never had another day with it. Step out on your faith and just say, that's it. By stripes, I'm healed. Claim it that away and say, what I've asked for, I've got it. Why? Because we're living in a body that's sure attacked by every demon in the world. But the day you got that Holy Ghost, that redeemed that body. Where else are you going to get it from? It's got to come from the inside out. It don't matter what the outside looks like. It's what he looks like, right? Father, we thank you. We love you. We just ask you, Lord, to be with us as we go our separate ways going home. And Lord, as we're facing the time coming down to the day that we're seeing that there's 40 years that we've been here at this place and we've been screaming the gospel over and over for all of those years, and it's never stopped growing. And Lord, you've never stopped honoring your word because you've always sent it. We thank you there just a week or so ago when everybody here said it was going to rain, and we kept saying it's going to rain, and Lord, it's been raining like everything. Satan's tried to do everything he could, knocking out the power and knocking out trees, but that didn't make no difference. You sent the rain. Lord, we love you. Just be with Brother Reed and them as they travel to be with us and bless us this weekend, Lord, that we could all realize a reality that our 40 years is up. We walk on. We quit running around and around Horeb. And we start walking to the land. And we start seeing you, Lord, knowing where you are and what you're doing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Just sang unto him. Open the eyes. Father, our buddy's shoulder, Lord, is hurting. We just ask you, Father, to take it away from him. Put it in the sea of forgetfulness, Father. Make it go away in Jesus' name. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart.